All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19. Lot has mercifully been rescued by the Lord out of Sodom. Sodom has been destroyed. And part of Lot's family died in that destruction. Lot's wife has, against the warning of the Lord, the direct warning of the Lord, she looked back from behind him, the scripture says, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back with desire, with respect for. And God knew it. God saw it. And Lot, with his two daughters, have entered a little city called Zoar. Now, verses 27, 28 of Genesis chapter 19, the scripture declares, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld. And lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace." Now, Abraham had drew near. I'm saying this because it says he got up in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. There was a place where he was standing before the Lord. And he was interceding. He was praying, asking the Lord. He said in verses 23 through 32, he was asking the Lord of chapter 18, I'm sorry. He was asking the Lord to spare Sodom for the sake of the righteous. He said if there'd be 50. And you know what happened. 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. If there would be any righteous in that city, would you spare that city? Far be it from you, Lord, to destroy the righteous with the wicked. Would you spare it? He said, I would. I'll spare the city if there's any. Talk down to 10. And the Lord said he would for the sake of the righteous. He'd spare it if there were any righteous found among the wicked. Abraham prayed. Ask him. The angels go on in. And now, we looked at what happened as far as Lot being brought out of the city and his wife, pillar of salt. He's entered Zoar. But Abraham still out there outside looking. He don't no record. He knew exactly what was going on. And the scripture says he got up early in the morning. He's risen in the morning after Lot and his daughters had entered Zoar. Sun was up that morning before, and God rained on that city, destruction. And obviously, now it all day, night, but I know this. He got up the next morning, and he's standing in the very place where he had stood before God, interceding, praying on behalf of the righteous. And he looked, the scripture said, toward Sodom and Gomorrah. But he didn't look like Lot's wife looked. We looked at that last time. He didn't look with regard or pleasure or care, but rather he beheld with a careful expectation of what the Lord was pleased to do. The scripture says he got up early in the morning, where he stood before the Lord, and he looked. He inspected. He perceived. He considered. He looks toward where Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities were. Land of the plain. One time it was a well-watered land that, even as the scripture says, the land of Egypt, and it's gone. It's just obliterated. Smoke is going up like a furnace where there used to be cities. It's just annihilated. Abraham had done that which we're all instructed to do. Philippians 4 in verse 6 says this, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." He had asked, "Lord, if there's any righteous there, would you spare that city for the sake of those?" The Lord said, "I will." And those cities are gone. And here we're taught afresh that God Almighty is just. And His counsel is going to stand. Lot had been removed. God took Lot out of that city. And therefore, with no righteous one found in the city of Sodom, God destroyed it. Now, I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 10. I want to just read something here. Leviticus chapter 10. I want us to notice something here too. Leviticus chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. But Abraham, he said he beheld. He had asked. He had sought the Lord. If there's any there, would you spare it? It's gone. Gone. But here we're taught something from Abraham's actions. Doesn't say anything about Abraham saying anything. He just looked. Abraham wisely didn't question the Lord. He did just as Aaron did. Whenever Aaron the priest was silent when God killed his two sons for their actions. Leviticus chapter 10, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, "This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. Abraham got up. He prayed for that city. Prayed, asked God to have mercy. "If there's any there that's righteous before you, any that you've loved before the foundation of the world, chosen in Christ, would you spare Sodom for their sake? I will." It's gone. And he just looked. And beheld and considered. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says, "There is a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak." And when the Lord had made His will known, when God makes His will known, we bow and we be quiet. Just as the Lord was pleased to rain fire and brimstone upon the cities of the plain, and His judgment was right, His judgment is holy, His judgment is just, in the great day of His wrath, the redeemed are going to praise Him for His righteous judgment. Turn with me to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, I'd like to read the first four verses. Revelation 19. Now, brethren, this is the way it is. God is just. God is holy. His counsel is going to stand. He will in no wise clear the guilty. I've got members in my own personal family. I've said this, you do too. And I pray God save them. I pray God have mercy on them. I've got some that is getting older like me and have no interest whatsoever in the gospel. None. If they die like that, I know what's going to happen. It's not going to be as everybody always says, you know, well, they're always in a better place. No. If they die without Christ, they die without hope. But let me tell you what Scripture says concerning the day of judgment and the attitude of God's people in respect to the Lord's justice and God's counsel. Revelation 19:1-4, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever, and the four and twenty elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Abraham prayed for that city for the sake of the righteous. He asked God, would you spare it? If there's any righteous, I will. But there was none, and God judged it. And Abraham beheld. Back in Genesis chapter 19, verse 29, and it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when He overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Now there's a beauty that's set forth here that's beheld in the sparing of Lot for God's remembrance of Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham. And He spared Lot for Abraham's sake. That's what the Lord did. That's what He said He did. Just like the Lord remembered Noah in the flood. And because Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, God put his wife and his three sons and their wives, those animals, in an ark. He remembered Noah in the flood, and his family was spared. But do we not see the greater than Abraham, the greater than Noah, concerning for whose sake God has been pleased to spare all of His elect, all that's been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? God has shown mercy, has spared this world up until this moment right now. If this world is still here in 5 seconds, it's because God still has a people in here that He's going to call out of darkness. There's still an elect for the sake of Christ. Not for any other sake, for His sake. God has shown mercy. That's why this world and all the wickedness that's in it, why God has not obliterated it now. God still has a people. And every vessel of His mercy is going to be delivered from the wrath to come. God remembered Abraham. And He sent Lot out. And then in verse 30 it said, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Now, you remember, we just studied this. How did he get in Zoar? God told him to go to the mountain. You go to the mountain, flee for your life, escape for your life. Flee the wrath to come. Go to the mountain. Well, Lot asked him, well, how about this little city over here? It's Zoar. It's just a little one, just a small one. I looked it up. I think it's a Blue Letter Bible. I'd have to check. My memory's not as good as it used to be, but I think it's Blue Letter Bible. Actually, it means, you see it in our Bible, it means a little one or small. Blue Letter Bible says there's also another that means insignificance. Insignificance. Zoar. How about if I go over to Zoar? Verse 19. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Now he's calling into question God's deliverance. He's calling into question God's power, God's ability, God's wisdom. Behold, now this little city is near to flee into. It's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. I told you last week, we start looking at things and we start thinking, you know, the grass is greener over there. How about Zoar? That's a nice little place. But God told him to go to the mountain. Put him in a safety. Put him in a place of safety. How about I go over here? And the Lord let him. He let him. Let him go. I don't doubt for one second. I said last week, I don't doubt for one second. Zoar's not nearly as big as Sodom. There can't be wickedness there. You know, I back some years, you know, I think back on myself and I think about when I was into things messing stuff. Just running around with rabble rousers like myself, and you know, and finally you kind of grow up a little bit. Think you got a little bit of sense now. I don't do those kind of things anymore. I'm not hanging around with that kind of crowd anymore. That, you know, Friday night, Saturday night stuff. I can't do that. I'm not going. So you get in and you kind of grow up a little bit, and you get married, and you try to get into a group of people, society type, you know, I mean, up to do stuff, you know, doing. And you know what I found out? They're the same as the rebel rousers that I was running around with in college. They're no difference. They just call it a different thing. That's all. I mean, it's the same things, mess, and stuff of the world. It's no different. But Lot thought, I can go to Zoar. I can live there. I can live there. I can do fine over there. Oh, how blessed we are to behold some of the great lessons that are needful for all of us from the way and the walk of Lot. God has been pleased to teach us something. Now you remember this. Lot was a believer. He was a just man, saved by the grace of God through faith. He was justified. But a man like all of us who struggled with the body of death that is within, that old man found within, and when God told him to go and escape to the mountain, Lot had another way. My way seems to be better to me. It seems right in my own eyes. And he asked to go to Zoar, and though God permitted it, remember, it was a place of Lot's choosing. That's what Lot decided to do. He probably thought, this is going to be a more manageable refuge. What is there in the mountain? I mean, what's in the mountain? Here's a city. At least there's something here. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? If God tells him to go to the mountain, you think God can take care of him? He found out, obviously, that Zoar wasn't what he thought it was going to be. His thoughts were not God's thoughts. Lot probably quickly realized that man's attempt to compromise God's way, no matter how logical it sounds so logical. This has got to be better. Commonly proves to be uneasy for a believer. Usually it doesn't go well. He'd long for that which the Scripture bears out that God did not initiate. And now the Scripture says concerning him being in Zoar, that's where he wanted to go. He wanted to go to Zoar. Lot, verse 30, went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Now, I wanted to make sure I understood. I mean, just reading without looking at the words, looking them up. You could say he dwelt in a cave, and I could just, you know, come to the conclusion, well, that's a place of safety, refuge, city of refuge, being in Christ, which is true for a believer. There's no doubt about it. There's safety. But the meaning of that word cave gives the understanding of what was happening here. The Scripture says he went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. I will tell you this, without a doubt, when God told him, you flee to the mountain, I can say with assuredness, you flee to Christ. You flee to the mountain of our refuge. You flee to the rock himself. You flee to him. And Lot's in the mountain. He, no doubt, he's in the mountain. He's a believer. He's a just man. But he's in a cave. He's in a cave. And he's fearful. Now, I've got a couple of things with this verse, and I'll stop. The Scripture says, he dwelt in the mountains with his daughters. He feared to dwell in Zoar. Now, I want to just deal with that word fear there for just a minute. He feared to dwell in Zoar. Now that word fear, and I don't want to confuse you, but I want you to understand what these words mean. It says he feared. It's a word that vines. I've got this from Vines and some good concordances. It actually means basically the psychological reaction of fear, where power and position is found. This word fear, it's a verb. It's a verb. It's something that he did. He did. He feared. It's a verb. It's an action word. So the fear that he experienced was, according to these concordances, I've got to look it up to know what it means. It means to revere, to have in reverence, but it also means to frighten, to make one afraid. So this word, it indicates that Lot was afraid of something. He was afraid. But also, the word is a word that does set forth a reverence for God also. It's an action. It's an action word. Has a reverence for God, but it also has a fear for men. Something, it could go either way. So the Scripture says, for he was afraid of something. Now, I will say this. Being a believer, he was in reverence of God. The Scripture says, Proverbs 1:7, the fear, the respect. That word fear there in 1:7, it's a noun. It's a noun. The other was a verb. This is something that is a possessed attribute. It's fear. The fear of the Lord, respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10 says the fear, that's a noun, the fear that of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So Lot feared. He did, he had an action. He was afraid. He was afraid of those in Zoar, and he was reverence He was reverence toward God. He reverenced the Lord also. But he was afraid of being in Zoar. He saw what happened to Sodom, Gomorrah. He saw what happened to the plain. He saw what happened to his wife. And now he's in a place that's not what he thought it was going to be. There was no difference in those people there. There just wasn't as many of them. But there was no difference. And he was afraid to fear there, to dwell there. And he reverenced God. And he left. But where did he go? He feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave. Realizing that Zoar wasn't the place of safety and comfort and peace that he thought it was going to be. What's happened? He realizes he's come out of Sodom. I'm out of the frying pan into the fire now. He's realizing this ain't what I thought. I seeing the destruction, knowing what happened to his family, he fears. And he feared to dwell in Zoar. And the scripture says now he's in a cave. There was a time when he enjoyed the fellowship with his uncle Abraham. Abraham was his uncle. He was blessed to reside in the land between Bethel and Hai. But scripture says, with Abraham. His flocks, his herds, tents. But because of strife over there being enough land, Lot at Abraham's suggestion to keep the peace. He chose to pitch his tent towards Sodom to be delivered out of that wicked city only by the grace of God. And now he's dwelling in a cave. He used to be with Abraham. Lord blessed him. And now he's found to be dwelling in a cave with two of his daughters. That's all that's left. And that word cave. Now here's the meaning of it. Meaning of the word cave is this: a dark cavern, a hole. It's from a primitive word that means to be bare or naked. And here we learn, for all found to be in Christ, the Lord, who directs the steps of His people. And He's going to guide us. And He's going to direct us. And we're going to learn by His directing hand these times when we decide that we don't want to go to the mountain. We're going to go to Zoar. And the Lord's going to chasten us. He's going to correct us. Lot, like the prodigal, though he thought he knew best, thought that he could direct his paths, his steps, and now the Lord, who is pleased to show mercy, draw Lot out of Sodom to demonstrate the blessing of his affliction. Psalm 92:12 says this: Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. Hold your place. Turn with me. I want you to look at these. Proverbs 3. I just got a couple of verses here. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. Lot thought he knew better than God. And the Lord's going to show him something. You don't. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. I told you, you think I enjoyed getting Gabe or Sarah or Hannah or Becca?
You think I enjoyed taking them back in that bedroom and taking my belt off and wearing them out? Did I enjoy that? It grieved me. It grieved me. I didn't want to hurt them. I did not want to hurt them. And every time I had to spank them, it just broke my heart. And I told you, every time I'd take them after I spanked them. I'd put them on my knee. And there they are, just wailing. And my heart is just, oh. And I'm kissing them. And I'm telling them, I said, I love you. I love you. I can't let you do that. I'm going to have to correct you. If I don't, I'm going to pay the penalty. God loved Lot. He loved him. He loved him. And Lot, thinking he knew better than God. How about me go over here? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. But you're going to learn. You're going to learn. He feared to stay in Zoar. God put him in a cave, in a dark place, in a hole. And let him experience. Revelation chapter 3. This last one right here. Revelation 3, verse 19. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. It's always good, no matter the hardships, the trials, the tribulations, the testing that we're made to endure, when the Lord is pleased to drive us to Christ. Think about this. God didn't leave him in Sodom. He left a bunch of them. They say there was 500,000 people in those cities, in that area. That's approximately what they guess. Bunch. He didn't leave Lot there. He brought him out. But Lot was going to have to be taken behind the woodshed. He was going to have to learn a lesson. And he did. What a blessing to be made to see our own frailty, to behold the fleetingness of this world, and to be made to be satisfied with the simplicity of Christ. He must increase. We must decrease. Oh, the blessing of being put in a cave, learning a lesson. David said, it's good that I've been afflicted. I might learn of your statutes. I pray God bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay.